Morning, Mark. Thank you for having me back.
No worries at all. Okay, a question for you. What's going on with the Prime Minister spruiking that the former Premier of New South Wales was going to be running for the seat of Warringah?
Well, a lot of people are saying that it is just distraction to keep people away from you know, to make they have no policies and the policies that we and other people are trying to put up. I actually think, I don't know, but my personal view is he's just stupid enough to think it's a good idea, to really think it's a good idea, you know.
Right.
And, I mean, in many ways, like, it is quite surprising, but when you talk to people in that electorate, as I do sometimes, because it's the electorate bordering the one I'm standing for, they're pretty happy with Gladys. They don't seem to mind the pork barrelling and so on. It's got so normalised, you know, that she might be good for Warringah. You know? So I don't know. It's
Lots of people in electorates that are being looked after by their federal politicians have no objection to pork barrelling because their electorates are getting the benefits from that. Can you give us an idea of your thoughts on this actual pork barrelling thing? Imagine my fingers going up in the air doing the quotation marks. And the difference, where is the difference between that and actual corruption or... I don't know, how would you put it? Favoritism.
Yeah. No, it is corruption. And the federal ICAC that we want to introduce, it would be clearly within the definition, you know, our definition of what you can prosecute people for is corruption, abuse of power or dereliction of duty. Now, using government funds to promote your party's election prospects is an abuse of power. There's just no question about it in my mind. And I think, as we've said on this program once before, the Israeli Prime Minister is up on corruption charges, and it's exactly that, for pork barrelling. And everywhere else in the world, pork barrelling is considered to be a crime punishable by prison. And it's only here that we have this, as I say, Mad Hatter's Tea Party, where you can do that. And actually, Gladys actually says, oh, well, you know, it's just normal, what's wrong with that? And people go, oh, yeah, that's fine. When I say people, some people. So I think the ICAC that we want to bring is well overdue, you know, when that sort of thing can be said and done.
And the, I don't know, the talking down of the ICACs in states by the federal government? What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think that's part of the syndrome. That's why I say that I don't think it's just about distraction on the part of Morrison. I think he, you know, like many things, he's got multiple purposes in there. I think it is a distraction. At the same time, I think he wants to paint this picture that, you know, Gladys is lovely and therefore the ICAC in New South Wales is a terrible idea and therefore it would be a terrible idea to bring it in the federal system. And certainly, if we can get Gladys elected in Warringah, so much the better. So I think that's the syndrome that's happening. And I think that there are a lot of people who find that an acceptable way to proceed. The other half of the country thinks it's disgusting and criminal, but that's where, you know, it'd be, I hope, on things like that the election will be fought.
Right. So, you know, like things like that hospital down... I can't remember, somewhere in the Riverina that they're building a hospital and they promised money for it or something, extra beds for a hospital, and rather than the money going there, it went to some clay pigeon shooting place. Probably pretty obvious that that's not the way it should have gone. But how would how would you be able to police that type of thing? Because if in one area it says, yes, they do need these sporting facilities, how do you prioritise those sorts of things?
Well, under the current system even, so we wouldn't have to change that, all expenditure goes before a committee, a bureaucratic committee in the public service, in the department in question. And that that committee says... gives us kind of priority of needs. So it says, you know, the number one priority for hospitals electorate followed by this electorate followed by... Well, they don't say it in terms of electorates. They say it in terms of towns, obviously, you know.
Right, right.
But it's where the towns fall. And what happens is that the politicians then completely ignore that and give the money where it suits them to win. Now, there's your proof right there. All you got to do is tender what the original advice was by an unbiased public service. And then when they don't follow that, and when they give it to an electorate that happens to be a marginal electorate or whatever else they're trying to do, I think you've proven your case then.
Right. Okay. Well, let's touch on something else. First Nations agenda, right? There's a recognition agenda going around Australia at the moment, and there seems to be a lot of people that are in favour of having First Nations recognition. Do you have any First Nations candidates in your party?
No. It's one of our great sadnesses. I've approached, really, I've lost count, but a large number of First Nations people to run as candidates. And whilst most of them have been very sympathetic to our policies and what we're trying to do for First Nations people and others, no one as yet has been willing to run. And I think that's largely about the fact that they anticipate that running for a party like us, the blockheads in the LNP and Labor will really get stuck into them, and it might not be such a pleasant experience. So I don't, I understand where they're coming from, and I certainly don't blame them for not putting their hand up. But if we could get some, First Nations people, particularly in WA, to run for us, say in the Senate and so on, I think that would be good, because we are talking to First Nations people about treaties and all that sort of thing, and we're out there. Trying to, put forward the Uluru Statement and recognition, all the things that First Nations people are concerned about, and health and welfare and getting rid of the Indue card and all those things that impinge on First Nations people. And to have, it's all very well for me to put those things out and to argue those things, but if we had a couple of First Nations people, particularly out of WA, who could, join me in that fight, I think, we would be absolutely thrilled. So I'm clearly using this as a bit of propaganda, mate, to I've pounced on your question. I'm using it as a bit of a recruiting exercise to try and get, because that would be absolutely wonderful if we could.
Right. And candidates generally in WA, do you have many of those?
No. For some reason, we've got candidates in the eastern states, we've got plenty. People in WA seem to be reluctant to get on board. I'm not really sure. Well, when I say reluctant to get on board, we've had a number of applicants, but they just haven't been quite right, unfortunately.
Right.
We're very, very keen to establish a presence. We're getting quite close to the federal election. We're very keen to establish a presence in WA. It's part of this country.
Yeah, well, the thing is, though, that the governments believe that public support for a change, adding that voice to Parliament and getting Nation people into those particular areas, they reckon that, generally, the governments believe that public support for that is weak.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. So, I totally agree with that.
Is that a way of them putting forward an idea so that maybe First Nations people won't head towards that area?
I think so. I think that they don't do anything without, a clear intent. I think they're very keen, as most governments, unfortunately, have been for many, many years, to keep the First Nations voice as quiet as possible. And anything you can do to discourage First Nations people from putting their hand up, I think, they will do. It's not dissimilar from the situation with female candidates, because they come under the hammer, as everyone knows, very quickly when they put their hand up. But I think First Nations people are in the same category, and... Anyway, hopefully we can get past that.
That would be good. Okay. Let's see now. What else did I want to cover? Oh, nothing in particular. I was just interested in your views, if you have any, on the way our defence procurement process works, because the government's just announced that they're ditching helicopters that they purchased for billions of dollars 10 years earlier and now increasing their spend on those type of things.
Well, I mean, you know, is there a system at all? Like, I assume there's some system in there. If you spoke to the generals, they'd say they had a system and so on. But from the outside, it just looks completely mad and ad hoc. I mean, the submarines and the French and the, you know, dumping the French and doing the, and taking on the British ones without proper diplomatic processes, it just looked insane. I think actually, and no, I guess it's more than my opinion. Plenty of people have said this. A lot of the defence spending is not about defence. It's about pork barreling. It's about saying, where do we need to shore up a seat? So we'll throw these helicopters in the sea and set up another set of, you know, to manufacture here. Or it could easily be about straight-out corruption with the various foreign corporations that are providing stuff from outside, you know. But the upshot is, like most things that this government engages in, it just, you can't see a pattern, you can't see any logic. And when you can't see a pattern, you can't see any logic, I think it's not unreasonable to consider there might be something else going on underneath.
Sort of looking for an ulterior motive.
Well, it's hard not to, isn't it?
Yes.
When the thing looks crazy, and nobody can explain it, and when they put them on the spot on TV and they just talk in circles and don't actually say anything, it's not unreasonable to think there might be ulterior motives going on there.
And so we went round in a circle all the way back to corruption. Okay. Thank you, Victor. Appreciate you being on Noongar Radio this morning and sharing your thoughts.
Great pleasure as always, Mark. Thank you so much for having me on.
No worries at all. Okay, you guys, let's get this ad break out of the way.
It's time to get the coronavirus needle to keep people and countries strong. The needle will protect kids, elders, men and women. You can die from the coronavirus or get really sick. If you don't get this needle, corona can get you easier and faster. You can talk to your local health service or look on the internet for more information. Type in Roll Up for WA on the computer. This is a WA government message spoken by Aboriginal Interpreting WA.
Station sponsor.
Kaya, there's a new public art project at Lakelands train station. The artwork will include Binjarup Noongar stories. To make sure it's all good, the team doing the artwork has to include a Binjarup Noongar artist. Apparatus looking for a team who can work with the local community and the Wenjan Aboriginal Corporation. To find out more, search for Apparatus on Facebook and Instagram, or check out the link on the Noongar Radio Facebook page. Apparatus, station sponsor.
About to reach for your mobile, weren't you? Well, don't. If you're on the phone, get off the road.
This is a community service announcement from Noongar Radio.
Hi, it's Andrew. This is 100.9 FM and Digital Noongar Radio Perth.
It certainly is, and it's about 10.5 minutes to 8 o'clock now on Noongar Radio. I've still got Victor Klein on the line. Is there anything you wanted to mention before you sign off for the day?
Well, Mark, if you don't mind, I'd just like to say if people are interested in the party, they should go to the website. We've got all the candidates, all the policies and everything there. You just need to Google the New Liberals and it'll come up at the top of the list there. And once again, if I could put out a plug for any First Nations people that think they might, you know, be able to contribute to making a better country for not just for First Nations people, but for all sorts of people, and get us back to the decent sort of society we want to be, we'd love to talk to you about being a candidate.